I don't know if you guys have, did you guys see the meteor shower that just took place not too long ago? That's what this was, that you could see from here. None of you guys were outside? Man, it was awesome. Now you got to see it, you just saw it. But you could even see it from here in this part of the world, this awesome meteor shower that took place. And you could see these sweet stars, or not stars, but meteorites coming in and just kind of flying through the atmosphere and burning up. Any of you guys ever seen one, like in person, you've been outside and you saw this falling star? Any couple of you guys have seen it? It's this unbelievable thing, especially when it's really close, because sometimes it can burn up like way into the atmosphere. And I remember when I was in high school, me and some buddies were just bored as anything one night. We're over at buddy's house. He lived kind of like out in the woods, so there are all these fireflies out. And we were just kind of like chilling. Like I was laying across the hood of his car, and we're just like doing absolutely nothing, looking at fireflies. We were that bored. And as I'm looking up into this pitch black sky, sky, there's all these stars out there, but I'm just looking at these kind of fireflies just kind of glow. I'm like counting them. We had nothing to do. I'm laying there seeing these fireflies. All of a sudden, there's just like this, poof, this like burst of like fire through the sky comes like in a streak right over us. And I felt like I could almost reach up and touch this thing. It freaked me out. So I like jumped up, I rolled, I fell off the car. I'm running around like it's War of the Worlds, you know, like, ah! Like they're coming after us. They're going to kill us. Run. It's like one of those moments, you know, like we're going to die. What was this, you know? So I'm telling my friends it's aliens, so let's get inside, let's get away from the aliens. I had no idea what had just happened, because either that or the fireflies just grew really big and like we're going to eat us. I don't know what happened. But we found out it was this meteor shower, and so as we chill out for a second and we look up, the next few minutes were the most spectacular things I'd ever seen in my life. I mean, these rocks fall from space into Earth's gravity, and when they hit our atmosphere, they just burst into flames. And sometimes, like I said, they can come so close, like that night, that it felt like it was just above us. And it was almost like you could feel the heat. You couldn't, but your brain thought it was so close. It was like you could feel heat from these things. They were so brilliant and huge and scary, because it was like, is this thing going to fall on me? Like, it was absolutely breathtaking. It was gorgeous. And I don't know if you guys have had a chance to experience something like that before, but tonight we're talking about, obviously we're into Christmas, and we're starting to look at the Christmas story. And where it kind of begins in a way, at least traditionally, is with these wise men, right? These dudes who all of a sudden hear about this star. And we don't know that it was a falling star, a meteor. We just know that it was a star, and it did some crazy things. It was this phenomena in the sky that was crazy enough and beautiful enough that it caught their attention. And they're like, we need to check this out. Like, we need to follow this thing and find out, document everything about it. You know, back in the day, they were all about the sky. I mean, ancient civilizations were constantly looking at the stars and graphing them and drawing them and tracking them. And so this was no exception, that they would be out there looking at the stars, studying the stars. And all of a sudden, this one beautiful, majestic star shows up right around the time that it was prophesied that the Messiah would be born. And it was just too coincidental not to go, whoa, we have to check this thing out. We've got to find out why it's up there. And so I'm going to read with you guys, if you would, with me. Matthew chapter 2 is where this thing takes place, verses 1 to 12. Let me read it to you. It says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it's written by the prophet, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler secretly, and ascertained from them.'" Sorry, I totally got distracted by that. "Ascertained from them." I lost my place. Whoever said that, you threw me off. Where was I? Yeah, I know that, but I'm looking now and I got a lot of words in front of me and trying to find it. Those are my shepherd, my people. Yeah, that what time the star had appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." And after listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose, went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. So I'm sure you guys have heard that story. It's a traditional Christmas story to read and to talk about. If you've ever been in church around Christmas time, you've probably heard of the three wise men. And as we look here, I just want us to see something about these guys' journey tonight that might help you and I as we go into our life, into our weekend, into the rest of our week. There's something true about what they do and how they see Jesus that I think we can learn from them. So look how it starts. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, first thing you need to know is, if you don't already know this, Bethlehem was not like Malibu. You know, it wasn't like this really nice, awesome place with big rich houses and movie stars and like all the deal. Bethlehem was a place where people didn't really want to go. Bethlehem was kind of a dirty place that was in the middle of nowhere. It was not the place to be. And that is where Jesus was born. You know, we've heard that a million times. Jesus born this really like lowly birth. It's in a manger where animals ate. But there's something that says to me about Christ, about my Savior, is that he became flesh to dwell with all of us, not just certain neighborhoods, not just people that drive certain things to school, not just people who have a certain amount of money, not just people who look a certain way or who have a certain skin color. Jesus goes from the throne of heaven to the slums of Bethlehem. He goes to all people. He covers the whole range. Every single one of us in this room are who Jesus came for. And there's no exclusions. He humbled himself to be born in Bethlehem. And it says in the days of Herod the king, and you got to know that Herod, the king of Israel at the time, was evil. The dude did not want Jesus to be born. He had heard this Jesus was going to be the king of Israel. He's going to take his place. Ah, you're not taking my throne. And so he wants Jesus dead. He's an evil king and he's threatened by Christ. And so here come the wise men, these dudes from the east. Now, the word here is basically the word for magi. I don't know if you know what that means, but if you tear this thing apart, here's what it means. We'll skip all the studying because you've been in school all day long, and I'll just break it down for you. Magi is basically, if they were alive today, would work for NASA, okay? And they'd be studying the stars. These guys were on the royal court. Sometimes they're referred to as kings because they were on a royal court sent by this very massive empire that they don't mention, but they're wealthy enough to have dudes who just study the stars all day and say, hey, we want you to go follow this thing. We're looking up there. This is obviously something that is not normal. And it's mind-blowing. And we have to know what this is about. You three are our top dudes. We want you to go follow it, write it stuff down, study it, do some research, and come back and tell us what this was about. And so here these guys go. And here's an interesting fact. You can't quote me on this. I can't say this for sure, but there are records from China, ancient China, that are written down that during about that time around 2,000 years ago, there was a celestial phenomena that they wrote down that was significant enough to say, we have no idea what this was. And they sent out dudes to go study this star or this phenomena in the heavens. Could they have been from China? Maybe. Could they have been from anywhere else? Very possibly. It doesn't exactly tell us, but we know these were smart dudes who knew what they were doing. And so they go, it says they came to Jerusalem. So here's the star, and they're following it over this massive city, Jerusalem. This place that was the center of Israeli life, of the Middle East. And so here they come, and it's funny that the star leads them there. You know, you guys just saw with me, like, the shooting stars were just, you know, quick. Like, they would burn up in the atmosphere. So was this a meteor that took, I mean, like a comet that would just kind of take its time way out there and you could see it? I don't know, but it looks like it's so precise the way it led them right over Jerusalem. It wasn't just some crazy thing way out there. It was this thing that was leading them. It's like this supernatural direction of God somehow. that even they thought it was inexplicable. And so here they are, they're in Jerusalem, and guess who's in Jerusalem, this big city? King Herod, right? And so as they're there, they want to know why they're there. Why did this star lead us here? But they knew something besides just the stars. Check out what else they knew. They were saying, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? Like, even these guys had studied enough to know the prophecy of a Messiah being born there. That some sort of star or celestial phenomena would let these guys know where this Messiah would be born. They were familiar with this prophecy. And so here they show up, foreigners to Jerusalem, which means they probably didn't grow up hearing these stories as kids. This was a well-known prophecy that they had heard. And they come and they're asking people. They're probably going down the street, stopping at houses and main places of business to say, listen, we're here because we see that star, that thing up there. And we know your prophecy. We want to find out if it's true. We came seeking the truth today, not just following a star. And they say, for we saw his star. Did you catch it? For we saw his star, not the star, when it rose. So they saw it right from the beginning. When it first showed up in the sky, they knew this was about this prophecy and have come to worship him. Man, it seemed at first like these guys were just trying to figure out what the star was, what this crazy light in the sky represented, or what was behind it scientifically. But here they're so clear. They weren't actually trying to get to the star. They were coming to find out if Jesus was really at the end of their destination. They were looking for Christ. The star was just a means to get there. It was just asking Siri, hey, give me directions to Jesus. And they're going and they're following it. And here they go, and plainly and clearly they say, we've come to worship him. These aren't Jews, as far as we can tell. These are foreigners. These aren't people that grew up near the synagogues or the temples. These are dudes that are coming from far away, probably another religion. And this thing was so mind-blowing that it convinced them that when they found where this star would stop, that they would find truth. Better truth than their religion could give them, or their culture, or their civilization, or their kingdom, their science. They knew, because of how massive and majestic this thing was, that when they got there, they would be face to face with someone who was worthy of them, falling on their knees. Royalty falling on their knees and worshiping whoever this ended up being. And so they said, let's go. This is worth it. And they follow the star and they get there and they're asking people, and Herod doesn't like it. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Like, the whole city goes crazy. Like, they're going to overthrow the kingdom. These guys have come and they're looking for this other king, and they're going to wipe us out. And maybe there's armies behind them coming, and they're bringing a huge battle to our front doors. Like, the whole place is going crazy. And Herod's thinking he's going to lose his throne, because he knows the prophecy of Jesus. He knows this Messiah is going to come, and he can see the star himself with his own eyes. Like, God himself saying, it's time. Get ready. My son's here. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet. So when Herod asked them, hey, where's this Jesus going to be, or this dude, they go back to him and say, don't you know your own prophecy, man? You're the king of these people. Don't you read your own scriptures? We even know. Because your scriptures, your prophets say that Bethlehem has no reason to be ashamed, because the greatest ruler and shepherd of God's people will come out of it. And here he is today. You want to know how I know? Look up. It's right there. You see the star? It's telling us that he's here. That's why we've come so far. And they're standing there having to explain it to the king. the king who should know, the king of these people, the king who's over the people who have made this prophecy. Herod, man, Herod reminds me of someone. He reminds me of me before I believed in Jesus. Herod reminds me of the time when I knew Jesus existed. I even was religious. I would call myself a Christian. I would go to church. I knew what it said about Jesus. I even kind of seek after Jesus, you know, religiously. But there was a difference between Herod and the way he followed Jesus and these wise men and the way they followed Jesus. You see, Herod had a very different reason to find Jesus. He wasn't asking so he could show up and fall on his knees and worship and say, "You're the Son of God." He wanted to kill him. He wanted to get him gone. He was threatened that he'd lose his throne. There are people all over that look for Jesus for different reasons. Some because the Bible is such great literature. Others because it's, man, this historical story about Jesus is fascinating. And others because he's such a good man and taught great things for our lives. It's really motivational. Get me to live better. Others are just religious or they like church or the list goes on and on. None of that is the same as what these wise men were doing. You see, they wanted to find Jesus so they could fall on their knees and worship him. Which one are you tonight? Are you following Jesus? Are you following because you want to fall on your knees and say, "Jesus, you are everything. I need you in my life. I want to worship you." Or do you just know about Jesus? You just come to church and youth group and hang out with friends, or maybe you go to a Christian school. So it just becomes this thing where, yeah, Jesus is more like Herod. Just kind of there. I know exists. I know about him. Follow him in a way. But fall down on your knees and worship him as king of all creation. Surrender your life and your goals and ambitions and your desires and say, "It's all yours. You can do so much better with this than I can. I want to follow you." That's a different following. Which one are you tonight? Have you reached a point in your life where you've said, "Jesus, I want to be like these wise men. I want to follow you because you're worthy. I might not have looked up in the sky to see this crazy star or whatever it was, this light that blew everybody's minds and showed them where you were born. But your Holy Spirit's been way more bright in my life. He's knocked on my heart so many times and convicted me. He's talked to me. I've heard him through the voice of my friends who told me about Jesus and my youth pastor. And even reading the Bible or hearing these worship songs that constantly talk about Jesus, I keep hearing it and I keep seeing the light. I keep hearing the Holy Spirit. And he's leading me to Jesus. But I've never actually fell on my knees and worshiped and say, 'I'm yours, save me.'" Have you ever done that? Have you ever found the greatest king of all creation who wants you to be his child, who wants to have conversations with you and love you and walk you through each day and be there for you and protect you? He wants you to be at his side for eternity. The one who has the ability to wipe away all your sin and your shame and guilt. All these things you regret having ever done, Jesus can wash them away. It just takes you falling on your knees and giving it to him. Say, "I surrender. Jesus, I just want to worship you. I want to find you and worship you." If you've never done that, man, I pray tonight would be the night. I pray that before you leave this place, you come talk to me. That'd be the most important thing you do for the rest of the night, as you find me after this thing, this service, and you say, "Rob, I want that. Tell me how. Let's pray. I want to know how to fall on my knees before Jesus and be his." That's what these wise men were doing. They were wanting to find Jesus, to fall at his knees and worship. But Herod, man, that was not Herod's goal. And so they listened to him. And they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. So the star goes from this massive city and then pinpoints in directly over not just Bethlehem and this little town, but directly over the place where they were staying, like where Jesus was inside. It was that specific. Now, my GPS isn't that specific, y'all. Like, sometimes, like, that thing's crazy. I can't get that close to places. I get lost all the time using my GPS. This star brought them to the place where Jesus was inside. And there they are. And it says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. See, the star wasn't why they bowed to worship. A lot of cultures do. They see beautiful things like that, right? And we know many cultures, they worship the sun or the moon or stars or all these different things. And it was probably that beautiful that some people might have been tempted to worship it. These guys weren't worshiping the star. They weren't following the star to find out where it was going to be like, yay, star. They wanted to see what led at the end of the journey. And it was Christ. They go in the house, and it says they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Like, this whole thing was about getting to Jesus. This whole journey was about finding that baby in that house and saying, you are my king. Kneeling down on your knees, pulling out these gifts that you had brought to honor him with and say, here, it's all yours. And we can go into a whole series on what these gifts meant. Gold, frankincense, myrrh. We're not going to tonight, but here's what it comes down to. They gave him basically everything. And what God wants us to know here tonight through their example is this. Have you given Jesus everything? It's one thing to go, yeah, like I love Jesus and I wear the shirt and I'm excited about Jesus. I like to sing the songs and I talk about him and he's my lingo and my friends love Jesus and it's the whole deal. But then you're like, hey, what would you give up if Jesus asked you to give it up? And we find that our list is really, really short. What are you willing to choose over Jesus? Are you following the star because it's beautiful and you want to find out what that thing is? Or are you following it just to get to Jesus? Are you willing to go take it all? Take my gifts, take my riches, take my life, take my goals, take that sport that I want to be professional at one day, take it, it's yours. And if you decide to give it back to me, great, I'll take it, Lord, because you've given it to me. But I'm not clinging to this thing. It's not going to be more important to me than you, so take it. And you give it back to me or you keep it, but you make the choice, God. How short would your list be? When you reach into your bag and you're at the feet of Jesus and you're kneeled down and you start pulling things out, could you really take your life out and go, here, it's yours? Could you take your future out, your goals, the job that you want to do when you grow up or the college you're going to go to or the person you're dating right now? Could you take those things out and say, the decision is yours? Or are you clinging to it like, God, don't touch that. That's not yours. Don't touch that. I'm too nervous for you to be like involved in that decision. Or are you following the star and you're saying, God, it's all yours. I want to live for you. I'm not ashamed of you. I want to stand up and be bold. You can take all of it, Lord. If you send me to Africa one day to live in a hut, then cool, I'm going. Even if I hate bugs and spiders and heat, like I'm still going. If you want to change everything I've planned and make me go do something else. God, yes, because it's the best thing for me if it's your will. It might be small. It might be some tiny thing today that he's just calling you to do and he's waiting for you to say, take it out of the bag and give it to me. You want to worship me? Don't just do it with your lips. Don't just fall on your knees and fake it and say, I love you, Jesus. And then you go to reach in the bag and it's like, but I got nothing for you. Sorry, you can't have any of this. This is all mine. I don't think this story would have ended up quite the same if these kings had done that, if these scientists or whatever they were had done that. It would have been a different ending. Real worship says, God, you have it all. Take my whole life. I see wise men who followed a star. And I see a star that was never the destination. And I see that God set it in the sky for them to follow it just so that they could get to Jesus. I want to tell you something. God many times is going to put something in your life and say, follow it. And you're going to think it's the end game. You're going to be like, that's what he wants for me. And you're going to chase it. And all of a sudden that thing's going to disappear and be gone. And God's going to take it. And you're going to go, God, you told me to follow it. I said, yes. And now you take it away from me? Like, what's going on? And he's like, I want you to keep looking. Keep looking. That was never the thing. That was never the end destination for you. It was just the star to get you where I wanted you to be. I wanted you to follow it so you could look up and then look Jesus straight in the eyes and be like, I am right where you want me. So I want to encourage you. I don't know where your journey is. I don't know if you're following the Lord right now or not. I don't know if there's some star God has you chasing. Maybe your star just got taken and you're sitting there tonight and like, yeah, amen, that's me. Like, that stinks. I want to encourage you, don't give up. Because God's just leading you, but here's always the end game. Jesus. That's where he wants you. Wise men are actually wise if they're truly following after Jesus to worship him. You want to be a wise man? You want to have wisdom? Seek after Jesus in pursuit of worshiping Christ above everything else. Let all the other stuff fall to the wayside and chase after Jesus and worship, just like these guys. Will you bow your heads with me? Father, tonight I just feel a burden in my heart that there are a lot of us here that are chasing after a star. And a lot of us think it is the end game, God. We're wondering where this thing's going to take us. And Lord, I just think of all the times in my life where I've done that, where I've chased the thing and I thought it was wrong, but God, we come tonight just to say, wherever you're leading, let it lead to Christ. Let it lead us to the feet of Jesus. God, cause us to grow Christ, closer to Christ every time we say yes to you and we obey you. Every time we hear your voice and you command us to go, that we would obey and it would just bring us closer to Jesus. Lord, what I'm asking for is for you to give us bigger faith. A faith that only grows when we step out there and take a risk and trust you. And then when we end up face to face with the Son of God, we can't help but say, man, I'm so glad I made this choice. I'm so glad tonight I did the scary thing and I talked to Rob and I received Jesus as my Savior and I was forgiven of my sin and we can celebrate the fact that now I am a child of God. And it was scary, but I stepped out. Or maybe tonight, Lord, there's people in this room and you're calling them to do something and it's a scary something. I pray you would give them the courage to say yes. Not so they can arrive at some destination in their life to become something or look successful, but so that by following whatever you said, they could be closer to Jesus. They can believe more strongly in Christ. They could stand up with a faith that's grown because they've said, yes, Lord, I will. God, that's what I want. Will you do that for me? If nobody else wants that in this room, will you please do that for me? Will you do that for us as a youth group? Lord, we love you. Thank you for sending us the Holy Spirit to be our guide. I pray that you give us the courage to say yes as he leads. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.